radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe. Okay.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I don't care about history and don't like it. What if I was right? What if I said that was wrong? Fans don't want to hear negative things about their team. That's their right as a fan. But the team's made a lot of pretty colossal mistakes since winning that World Series. I mean, how's that Jose Abreu contract working out? How's that Rafael Montero contract working out? How is he letting guys like Jeff Bagwell, with no front office experience whatsoever, make critical decisions working out? The team is clearly in worse shape today than they were the moment they won that World Series. The farm system is worse off. The Major League Club is worse off. It's just a mistake after mistake after mistake. You know, the Astros fans want to claim they don't like me. Can I hand you a tissue? Really, where's the lot? What have I said that was wrong? Everything I said about this organization turned out to be true. Sorry, but not sorry.
713-780-3776 to call or text in on an Ask Gallant and Mapes Anything Friday with Sean Mapes sitting in for Joe George. Should the Astros hire Keith Law?
Hey, they would have made. They would not have made the same mistakes that they did.
He can see the future.
I feel like, and this is something that we talked about during the break, that I remembered what the, I guess, original sin of Keith Law was in the eyes of Astros fans. Or I don't know the original sin, but at least the last time it felt like he kicked the hornet's nest on.
He compared Jim Crane to Jerry Jones.
Yes, on 97.5 Airways.
And in an article as well. He's been pretty vocal in his opposition against Crane.
And initially that came, I want to say it was the 2022 offseason, just after they won the World Series, when the Astros didn't renew James Click's contract, and he was saying how much of a mistake it was. And I think that's where the Jerry Jones stuff kind of started, with like how much that Jim Crane wanted to have his fingers on the offseason, how much he wanted to get his fingernails dirty with, let's sign this guy, and let's sign Montero, bring him back. I think that's where it started. And you know, Keith Law, again, you can have issues with the tone, with the wrestling heel aspects, energy that he brought to his appearance on the Killer Bees yesterday, but when it comes to the facts are on his side.
They were on his side, Sean, and as Grinding on Coffee and Whiskey says, this dude had an axe to grind, huh? I think we both are in agreement. We respect the pettiness.
Yeah, like
long memory.
If you put yourself in Keith Law's shoes, like I'd also be like, mm-hmm, yeah. How's the taste?
There's nothing wrong with somebody that pushes back against the things that your favorite team does. And I know that this city is not necessarily used to that. And that's not meant as a criticism. I grew up in Massachusetts, and my favorite radio show growing up, Felger and Maz at 98.5, the Sports Hub, has routinely like made headlines for saying the Patriots suck in the midst of their sixth Super Bowl run.
When they're going like 13-3.
And I felt like they made me more level-headed as a Patriots fan instead of an absolutely psychotic zealot. They leveled me out. They made me realize, hey, it's okay to be self-aware of the issues that your team has. You can still root for them and talk about them.
These people, the players and the coaches, they're still people. Like they're not other than Tom Brady, they're not gods.
No, exactly.
they make mistakes. They're imperfect, again, other than the quarterback. It is a healthy, there is something to it. Now, there's a little bit of like, okay, when you turn on their show, you're like, okay, so they're just going to be the negative show today. But they're on the whole, you do sometimes need that.
Exactly. And I mean, that's why the Killer Bees are in afternoons, you know? Like the Killer Bees are good at pushing those buttons.
Yeah, they
just had on Keith Law.
Yeah, if they're like, you know what? I don't know what buttons we have to push today. They're like, you know what?
Let's bring in Keith Law.
I know what buttons we should have BMAC push. It's the numbers of Keith Law's phone number.
Hey, I'm thankful for Keith Law because this was a pretty slow day. I mean, there was no Astros game to react to last night. They will be in Los Angeles taking on the Angels this weekend. And, I mean, they got to sweep them. I'm not accepting anything less than a sweep. Nope. No. And you shouldn't either. They should sweep these bums. They're bums. Losers. You are not. You are not that. You have one sweep this year. For God's sake, it's 2 months into the year. Can I get another sweep? That's all I'm asking for. Is this how married people feel when they stop having the you-know-what-skis? I just want it occasionally. I don't need it. I mean, I would like it on a weekly basis, at the very least. Sounds like for all y'all in that department, maybe it doesn't happen that much. But, I mean, that's what I'm looking for. Once a week, give me one.
Yeah, there's been probably a couple inches added to the waistline, I'd say, this season for the Astros.
A couple inches?
A few.
I think we're talking a couple, I think we're talking 20 pounds.
Oh, wow.
No, they let themselves go.
Yeah, it hasn't been good. I guess that's why you say you won't accept anything other than a sweep of the Angels.
Get to the gym, babe.
I've officially just like two out of three is a sweep for this year's Astros team.
No.
For this year's team, it is.
We can't lower our standards because we're so accepting of our significant baseball other.
This is the one time a week. This is me declaring
the one time a month.
Declaring, you know what? I'll just have to accept one time a week. I'm just happy for a series win, honestly.
I need a sweep.
There's been so many series losses. I'll take a series win.
I need a sweep. By the way,
slowly get over 500.
Shout out to the college World Series where after literally the first strikeout of the game, the pitcher for Tennessee is celebrating. I like that.
Let's see it. Replay. Wow.
I mean, that is an emphatic celebration for the first strikeout of the game. Don't you have to wait a little bit for that?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's normally what, like, closers do.
That's literally the Knoxville Super Regional. It's Evansville in Tennessee. And whoever's on the mound for Tennessee, we have the TV on in
Lefty,
studio.
By the way.
He just struck out the first batter of the game, and he celebrated. I mean, this could be exciting, this guy, like the entirety of the game.
Hector Neris Jr. over here.
Can he get up in the next batter's face after he strikes him out? Oh, that was my favorite moment of last year.
Oh, let's not. This is dangerously close to bad vibes alert. We're reminiscing about
last year.
About last year.
All right. Well, maybe. Okay. Well, do we want to hear from Keith Law saying that Dana Brown's a puppet for Jim Crane, or is that bad vibes too? It is a Friday.
It is.
We can
steer
back into Ascalon anything. Ask Sean Mapes anything.
Can we do the Kyle Tucker one? Because at least that's
Let's do that.
That's skin of bad vibes stuffs with good vibes.
I love it when you do that. Hey. Austin, let's hear Kyle Tucker and what Keith Law thinks about him going forward with the Astros.
I mean, Tucker would enter free agency after his age 28 season. That's the guy who's getting an 8-to-10-year deal, typically. You're just looking at the recent history of elite offensive free agents who hit free agency before their age 30 season. You're right, the Astros haven't really done that. That's another mistake. I mean, that is a core player. That's a guy you sign. That is a guy you continue to build around. And if you do have to give him 8 to 10 years, well, probably 6 to 8 of those years are going to be really good. You're getting the remainder of his prime years. And Tucker, he's a very athletic player. Such a great pick when they did it too. And he is exactly the type of player. I do think ages well. He's athletic and he's got fast speed and he's shown he can really play defense. It's a broad set of skills. It's a good body. It's a good athlete. That is the type of player I bet on retaining more of his value into his 30s. I can't tell you what the Astros are thinking. I don't really even know for sure who's making the decision. But that is a guy, if I were consulting to them, I would say this is the one we sign. I would actually rather give him the long-term deal than Alex Bregman. Nothing against Bregman as a player, but he's 3 years older.
They're not going to resign him, though. I mean, it all makes sense, but they're not going to resign him.
Is there a chance? Maybe. Maybe. Can we believe?
Can we believe?
That's why I chose this one is because at least it is like Kyle Tucker is awesome. He is a bright spot on the team. Probably the brightest spot on this team. And the door's not all the way closed that they for him to have a long-term deal. But I do agree with you that it is not likely because, like Keith Law says, it's just not what we do here. It's just not what we do. Keep these guys on big money contracts. Not what we do.
No.
We'll pay other people big money contracts.
People who don't deserve them. Maybe
not
Josh Hader
Tucker.
Will.
But this is where our conversation at the start of the show, I think we can circle back a little bit just in the context of Kyle Tucker's. Maybe this is where Jim Crane can this season can be the season that necessitates him to change his stripes on this specific part of how he runs the Astros. Because like we said, he's changed. It's just we don't think he's changed for the better over the last even just 3 years, we'll call it. So maybe this absolute disaster of a year, maybe this is where he goes, you know what? Maybe we should just bite the bullet. And I think for 1 year, it'll be really tough with the overlap of the Verlander and Fromber and Abreu and Montero contracts with a big Kyle Tucker deal. But to have him for the rest of the time, for the rest of that deal is going to be good for, I don't know, I feel good about 75% of a 10-year deal with Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. King of Twitch says Keith Law has no idea any more than we do if Tuck will resign. Yeah, but he says that in the
clip. He says, "I don't know."
What we're trying to say is it feels doubtful.
It feels doubtful, but if you want to have a nugget of hope, it is that this year is the year that causes them to be like, we can't let the one guy on our team that's been awesome the entire year. We can't let him walk out the door.
Speaking of doors, I entered the doors of the Highway Cantina last night to watch NBA Finals Game 1. If you haven't seen already on Twitter, like my latest evidence of me being a terrible driver, I'll finally admit it. Shrimp Boat Dana on the Twitch. I'm a bad driver. I got stuck in a ditch, and despite the best efforts of some very friendly Houstonians nearby who put wooden planks out there to try to help me get out, like a homeless guy found wooden planks and put them down, and I felt bad because I didn't have any cash on me to give him for some. He said, like, hey, you got any change on you so I can get a drink? And I was like, damn, and he's being honest about it, too. And he just gave me these planks, and I have no cash on me. But AAA got me out of this ditch. My car still works. But after that situation resolved itself, you can see the picture of me stuck in there. I went into the Highway Cantina. And while I was in there, a person who is a regular listener of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and he was telling me stories, like, came up to me because I was wearing my Larry Bird jersey, and he said, told me this story about how I guess Larry Bird gave him an autograph after the Celtics beat the Rockets in the 86 finals with he and I think two other Celtics players autographed it. And it said, like, Houston sucks on the basketball, too. And I was like, damn, well, that's not good. But anyway, while talking to this person, he found out that I'm me. I'm the Paul Gallant. Little bit of an ego boost for a moment, Sean, until this. The man says to me, oh, I thought you were fat. So here's my question. 713-780-3776 to call, to text on an Ask Gallant and Mapes in for Joe George Anything Friday. Do I sound fat? Do I sound fat? I feel like I fat shame a lot, and maybe this is karma for doing that. I was kind of offended. I thought it was funny, but I was kind of offended that this person thought I sounded fat.
It's also one of the things where it's not an insult, but it causes you to think, like, wait, I know he's not trying to insult me, but
no, he wasn't. He was just being honest.
I don't know how to take this.
He was just being honest. It was super cool.
That's so funny.
It was super cool. But he says, you sound fat. And I was like, wait, what? So it's like it's just a double whammy of a day where, like, I'm exposed as a terrible driver. Again, Akalon says on Twitter, if you want to see the picture, it's not a good look. And two, listeners like, hey,
I thought you were fatter than that.
I thought
you were a tubby. I thought you were on the tubby ones. I will say, there are voices that you do associate with, like, that's probably a bigger guy with that voice. I don't think you have that voice, though.
Thank you. I don't think so. I appreciate that. I appreciate you don't think I'm fat. I didn't say that.
I said your voice doesn't sound fat.
My voice doesn't sound fat. I'm not going to eat anything the rest of the day.
Oh, come on.
We got a pool day tomorrow. We got Steve calling in. Steve, it's 713-780-3776. Steve, do I sound fat?
I just want to say, Paul, I've been listening to your show for about a year now. You 100% sounded fat to me. When I saw your stream on Twitter, and saw how you really looked, I was so appalled. I had no idea.
All right, I'm sorry, fat. Wow. All right, Steve.
All right, Steve. Good
I got
call.
A fat voice. I like it.
I didn't. Maybe part of it's that I've only seen your voice come out of your face. Like I've only been in the same or not in the same room, but yeah, I've only seen you talk. That I don't have the first impression of the mystery of what you look like.
I'm gonna need to encourage people to watch us on our ESPN Houston.
Yeah, you're
YouTube
really gonna be
channel.
Pushing the YouTube
and on Twitch because I don't want people to think I sound fat. I don't want this anymore. This is an obstacle I have to overcome. It's ear system view to assume my weight. What a slang. Anyway, he is Sean Mapeson for Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, Austin Rodriguez behind the glass. 713-780-3776. You want to call or text in on an Ask Gallant and Mapes anything Friday. We'll bring this to the table with Joe when Joe comes back on Friday. Bullying works, guys. It works. It's not great, but it works. We found out that bullying is the reason that one of our nightmares in sports is no more. You'll hear why and how next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday. I am Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes sitting in the Joe George chair. We got Austin Rodriguez behind the glass. You can ask us any question. We're working it into today's show. Having some fun before we get you into your weekend. We found out why Angel Hernandez retired. It seemed like he might do a farewell year.
I was hoping for a farewell tour. At least one last game.
Give us a Coach K or Derek Jeter extended exit.
Or the Kobe 60-point game for his last game where it's one last hurrah where he's missing the strike zone, throwing guys out.
Imagine his magnum opus, just this game where he misses every single call. Honestly,
goes 0-for?
Yeah. I mean, it would be the best way to say F you on the way out. The man has pride, clearly, and he has been bullied online. Jeff Passan was on with Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen show, and they had a long conversation about whether or not people got too mean when it came to Angel Hernandez, who was the laughingstock of refereeing everywhere over the last year, not just because of the missed calls, but also because he sued baseball for racial discrimination, keeping him out of the postseason, and then baseball came back at him with,
no, we have evidence of how bad you are.
And lots of it.
And
I mean, the lawyers did a great job.
And MLB won the case, yeah.
So Jeff Passan expanded on this conversation that Rich Eisen and his producer were having in a recent interview.
I think sometimes we take for granted what social media actually does and how it brings out the absolute worst in a lot of us. And I think the easiest way to do this and the easiest standard by which any of us, frankly, should live is, would I say it to the man's face? Any of the stuff we say on social media about Angel Hernandez, if you were confronted with Angel Hernandez, would you say it to his face? Would you call him the names that you call him online? Would you tell him how terrible he is? A lot of that stuff, frankly, led to him going away. He got tired of it. He got tired of the social media firestorm that exists. And that, frankly, I will acknowledge this, is understandable because there were parts of his job where he was genuinely bad.
Bullying people works on the internet in getting them to leave their job. I mean, we saw it this year with the person who was running the Astros Twitter account.
Oh, yeah.
The poor gal who, let's be honest, was tweeting rather basically the things that you would see from the Taylor Swift concert announcement account. It's giving.
Yes.
MVP.
Yes. Just sight unseen. I don't know who this woman is. Never met her. I based off of her work as the Astros Twitter person, I would just say, yes, she is a Taylor Swift fan.
Correct.
I have no idea, but just based off of that, I'm profiling, and I'm saying she's probably a Taylor Swift
fan. It's giving white woman. Now, I didn't dox her, but it was giving white woman. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I like Taylor Swift. Yeah. I'm not going to, you know...
defend the wall on
commit acts of zealotry, yeah. Extremism in her name, you know? But we saw it happen this year on that front. And, I mean, we saw it happen last year. And, you know, hey, if you bully someone enough and you get what you want in 2024 on the internet, it's the way to go. Great. But we did lose Papa Dusty Baker as a result of this. Because remember, this was Dusty Baker with Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley.
So every year is different. And, you know, there was a whole bunch of, like, criticism from 30-year-olds and bloggers and tweeters, and I'm not doing this, and I don't know that. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm kind of tired of this and tired of the scrutiny.
Remember that was one of the reasons that Dusty Baker supposedly stepped away, is that he was tired of all of the second-guessing. And I got to say, like, I was very team Dusty Baker on that front because – there was a lot of, oh, this guy's the biggest idiot ever energy online. And I thought it was unfair. It was fair to question why Maldonado played so much more than Yiner Diaz. I think that was fair. But this year, you could definitely make the argument if you wanted to that, hey, look at the struggles that some of the starting pitchers have had, other pitchers have had. Yiner Diaz is learning how to be a catcher on a daily basis. And at the same time, you know, Yiner Diaz an extended work until the last three games where he has a home run in each of them. It hasn't been the best season for him offensively, unlike last year. And maybe there were some other situations that you would look at with Chaz McCormick versus other players that were playing in the outfield, Jake Myers, that you would second guess. But I always felt like there was a collective energy that to what Jeff Passan was saying, would we have said this to Dusty Baker in person? Would we have said this to the poor Astros Twitter girl in person? I don't think we would have. And this is not me saying, like, think about the people you're bullying online. But I guess I am. I think sometimes we are a little bit. And I would say even for us, too, in this industry.
No, I definitely, that the part that Passan talked about that, like, I that's something I try to do with what we do on a daily basis. Is if I'm criticizing someone, I try to keep it to where it's like, is this something that I could credibly say to his face? Now, some of it, you are trying to entertain, so then you make some sacrifices there by exaggerations or by
a little hyperbole,
laying it on thick. Yes, yeah. But in general, like, yeah, you want to be fair in a situation to where, you know, this is something that you and I have talked about, where like you at during the football season, you go to the Texans locker room and you put a microphone in these guys' face. And so that
it keeps
does,
you honest.
Yeah, that does. It doesn't limit what you can say, but it does make you think twice about, like, well, how aggressively do I want to go after this person if I just had to stick a microphone in his face, you know, 3 days from now?
I do think it's important to go out there. And I'll be honest, like, I probably need to go back a little bit more. I would say the Astros clubhouse specifically. But, you know, for the Texans, I definitely do my job on that front. And for the Rockets, probably I could do it a little bit more too. But no, it does keep you honest because that is part of this. And I mean, anyone, you know, anyone with a mic can talk the talk. But you don't really want to talk the talk. That's at least where I'm at. I've felt that we have gotten to a point, and I think it's partly due to the internet, where we all feel extremely comfortable just talking some bleep. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is warranted.
Yeah.
Like, I will say my back and forth with Larry and Stafford, for example, who I actually do not have a problem with, that got to a point where I feel like if that had been in person, it would have been playful in nature. But online,
it just reads differently.
Right. For those who don't know, he said, like, when Jamal Shedd, like, hurt his ankle, and I'm convinced Larry didn't actually see him hurting the ankle, and I think he just, like, tried to, like, act like he had seen it all. But he basically said, like, oh, I could have played through what Jamal Shedd suffered in the NCAA tournament against Duke. And I was like, come on, dude. Like, you're huge. Like, that wouldn't have happened. So then he was going after me for getting fired, and I was like, ah, your calls are annoying, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like if we had that conversation in person, I feel like we would have at least been playful. I don't know I don't think he likes me, but whatever.
Yeah, that happens with a lot of back and forth that I noticed when you're going back and forth, either on social media or even like texting, where more often than not, you can find some common ground when you're talking with them either on the phone or in person that for whatever reason just gets lost in translation when you're typing it out.
Yes, 100%. And I look at this situation with Angel Hernandez, and I wonder if it's different. Because, like, everyone hated Angel Hernandez, and he made himself look like more of an a-hole because of the fact that he sued baseball for racial discrimination, which to me, you know, you're doing that in 2024. You're like a lot of different people that seem to be exploiting Danica Patrick looks good. Sorry. Seem to be exploiting a world where everyone seems to be doing it these days, and everyone seems to be making a buck these days off of it. And perhaps the pendulum is swinging the other way. But, I mean, it's rare that you see such universal hatred for a figure in sports. There's no one out there defending Angel Hernandez. Like, I would wonder how many umpires, if they actually were asked to, like, say Joe West or somebody else who was a prominent umpire, like, I wonder what they would say on that front.
Yeah, at least privately too, because publicly they do, especially Joe West. Like, they'll defend the line, you know.
Yeah.
They'll do that. But
the thin blue or
I think
thin blue line.
That's the police.
I forget which the line is. Is it the thin red line? That's a movie. Okay, I'm talking out of my ass right now. Maybe we
the deep blue sea. Is that what you're
the deep blue sea? Yeah, continue. Sorry.
There's also an element. I think this happened with Angel Hernandez. I think it happened with Dusty Baker. I think it happened with Larry and Stafford and the Jamal Shedd thing, where on social media they're just a little bit of like, you want to be included on, if you're an Astros fan and you don't have something to say about Dusty Baker, like, are you even an Astros fan on Astros Twitter? So it becomes a pylon effect where every Angel Hernandez mistake, because it's Angel Hernandez, gets magnified by everyone who wants to, like, aha, here's the time where I will get my Angel Hernandez joke off, and it's everyone making the same joke. It's the same thing with the Dusty Baker stuff, where it's everyone making the same point, but you have to make it, because are you even on Astros Twitter if you're not making a Dusty Baker point? And with the Larry and Stafford thing, I tend to agree with you that I doubt that he actually saw the play. But tell you what probably happened is he was on Twitter and he saw everyone talking about all the Houston people that he follows talking about Jamal Shedd. And so when he heard that it was a sprained ankle, he was like, sprained ankle?
Yeah. By the way, we all do that.
Yes, everyone does that.
We all do that from time to time. Like, there have been a couple of times where I know for myself, like, I've seen something that happened. I was like, oh, shoot, I need to have a take on it. And now I've just gotten to the point where, you know what, save it for the radio show.
Yeah, exactly.
Save it for the radio show. Put a little more context behind
it. Even, like, in my personal life, where someone will show me something, and I'm like, I know they want a reaction from this, but I don't have a reaction to this tweet that they sent me, but I'll just ha-ha it. Like, anyway, or I'll come up with something think they want to hear.
Exactly.
And I think that's what's happening on social media.
He is Sean Mapeson for Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George on a Friday. Ask Gallant and Mapes anything Friday. Keith, a.k.a. Ocho Texto, had a interesting question. Paul, it looks like the expansion NHL team in Utah is going to be named the Yeti. It's fine, but I think the polygamy is better. Thoughts? The name should be The Big Love. I say that because of a great HBO TV show starring the late Bill Paxton that was about that Mormon way of life. It would be, I actually think, a little more culturally appropriate for them to just lean into what they do best, which is a lot of loving for the men. A lot of loving
for the men.
For the men!
If they get a WNBA team, probably using a different name.
I don't think they're getting a WNBA team. I don't think that's going to happen. It is a bummer that they got the hockey team and Houston didn't. I would love to, you know, I mean, not like I'm wearing a hockey sweater to a Houston Aeros game if they were to come back in the summer, but yeah. It would be nice to have a little hockey right now.
Also, they said it's the Yeti is the name.
I guess the Yeti
is it not Yetis?
Maybe it's just the one Yeti.
Is there one Utah Yeti?
I'm not sure if the Yeti has the same deal as the Bigfoot. If there's just one Yeti and if there's just one Bigfoot, but yeah, I'm assuming that's what it is.
I would think it's Yetis. That's it.
Okay, it could be that.
I don't know. I could be no.
We all could be wrong. We are not. This is not the.
I could be wrong about the plural version of Yeti.
Exactly.
I could be wrong about that.
This is not mythological creature talk radio.
This is not social media. So I'm not. I am not going to be entrenched in my point.
You're not going to die on a hill here. All right. Up next. All-time embarrassing moment for a broadcaster. This is my biggest fear. You will hear next. Galan and George, stick around.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We are doing Ask Galant and Mapes. Sean Mapes sitting in for Joe George. Anything on a Friday. We were just talking about, hey, should the Utah unnamed hockey team...
Utah hockey team...
Should they get the nickname the Utah Yeti? I suggested the Utah Big Love. Ocho Texto suggested the Utah...
Polygamy.
Sean Mapes, what are the alternative options?
So we have the Utah Yeti.
Okay.
The aforementioned Yeti. Not Yetis. Everything has it as the Yeti, so I assume I'm wrong there. The Utah Blizzard. The Utah Hockey Club. Boo.
Yeah, that's lame.
Utah Mammoth. Again, just Mammoth. Not Mammoths. The Utah Outlaws. Utah Venom.
Ew. Venom. I don't think of snakes when I think of Utah. I suppose there are snakes in Utah.
Yeah, it is funny that they have both snake and blizzards and Yetis. Like, I know that they have all those things.
Blizzard sucks.
Yeah, Blizzard, that's a bad one.
Hockey Club sucks.
Utah Outlaws is a little arena football league.
It's too basic, yeah.
I guess I like Yeti the most.
I like Yeti the most as well. And look, I mean, did you just follow suit with the Seattle Kraken, like mythological creatures as your team name and without plural because it's the Seattle Kraken, not Krakens. It's the Utah Yeti, not Yetis.
What the hell's going on with the NHL? They're these teams.
They're based in Canada. I know.
Yeah.
It happens. Austin Rodriguez behind the glass is a big, formerly Arizona before that Phoenix Coyotes fan.
He had to turn his badge and gun when they took away his team.
Sorry, man. Of all those, which would you pick? What would you get if you had
the Utah hockey team?
What are we doing?
I'm good with either the Yeti or the Mammoth.
Okay.
Mammoth, yeah.
Mammoth isn't bad either. Mammoth isn't bad.
When you hear all the other ones, Mammoth. Yeah, Mammoth gets better.
Okay, guys. I'm always very, 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 very nervous about looking like an idiot on the microphone, which is ironic because I know I do it all the time.
It happens.
It does happen. But there's nothing worse than thinking you're interviewing somebody when you're actually interviewing somebody else. It happens from time to time. But on the Golf Network, in the midst of a golf tournament, I'm not going to give this reporter's name. I feel bad for her. But let's just say that she thought that she saw Texas Longhorns legend Vince Young on the course. This is what unfolded.
Vince Young playing this week, and he's down with Lauren.
Favorite six seasons in the NFL, arguably one of the best NCAA quarterbacks of all time at Texas, picked up golf about 4 years ago. What's the biggest shift you make going from the ultimate team sport to now the ultimate individual sport?
Now, I apologize. you have with the wrong person. I'm Everett Sands over at Citadel, so, which I'm a football coach. The thing is, the great thing about golf is I'm not only competing against myself, but I'm competing against everybody else.
This is your first pro-am ever playing, and what's the best part of being out here?
Well, being out here is a great thing, and having the opportunity to play with some professional golfers is a intimidating thing, but also a great thing.
Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I feel so bad for her. I feel so bad for her. That guy handled that as politely and nicely as anyone could. It's on live TV. So shout out to Edward Sands, the head coach of Citadel football. That was really nice of him.
Yes.
I'm like getting shivers.
I was thinking that it feels like a scene from The Office. Like the long pauses. You could tell that Everett Sands was waiting for him or waiting for her to like jump in at some point.
And you could tell she was nervous too because she said like NCAA and she was a little jumpy. Oh, I feel bad.
I feel bad. Again.
That's a tough spot to be in because I'm sure someone gave her the intel that that was the guy. But if it was her idea,
Also, in case everyone has or if anyone hasn't seen the clip and doesn't know what Everett Sands looks like, I'll give you a hint. He looks very little like Vince Young.
Yes, he's in great shape.
He is in very good shape.
You know,
he's also not 6'5" like Vince Young.
No, he's not that tall. And, you know, we found out yesterday that some of my listeners think that I sound fat. Edward Sands, whatever you heard there, he is ripped.
Wait, what did you say his name was?
Edward Sands, right?
Everett Sands.
Everett, okay.
At least you didn't get it wrong to his face.
At the very least, that's similar sounding, right?
Yeah, it's also similar.
Oh boy!
At least you didn't keep calling him Vince Young.
No, that's. I feel really bad for her.
That's.
Do not bully her, people. Okay, Angel Hernandez, I'll allow it. This poor girl. don't do it to her, man. Oh
yeah, that it just. It's like you said, it's one of the biggest fears that you have that you're just like going to get this person's name wrong.
I almost did it once in like my first day in the Seattle Seahawks locker room and I just kept my mouth shut. I was like,
Football's tough.
You're not 100% sure who this is. Don't ask. Just sit back and watch for a day. And thank God I didn't. Because, yeah, I would have confused one player with another. Because you only see the jerseys and the helmets.
Yeah,
you don't know what anyone looks like.
Yeah.
And the person was being asked questions that I would figure would be asked of this player.
I can't believe you confused Luke Wilson and Will Disley. Right? It was that kind of mistake.
Well,
right?
I mean, listen, Bill O'Brien once got on my ass for confusing CJ Fedorowicz with Ryan Griffin, and he used it to get out of answering a question that was very fair about how awful Brock Osweiler
again,
was.
Again, at least you got, I mean, Bill O'Brien isn't exactly the most forgiving person, but
no, he's not.
At least you got it wrong in front of him and not either CJ Fedorowicz or Ryan Griffin.
Ask Galan and Mapes anything Friday. Eric the Driver asks, Paul, what is your favorite period of history? I will watch anything World War II. World War II history fascinates me. Part of it's because both my grandfathers fought. My dad's dad was in the Navy in the Pacific Theater, and my mom's dad, who I never got to meet, sadly. He died before I was born. He was in a cavalry unit that went through Europe. And I've just always been fascinated by World War II. How about you, Sean?
Current day.
Current day history?
No. I'm worried about the present.
We make history every day.
Yeah.
Today could be the greatest day of your life.
My favorite Super Bowl ring. The next
the
one.
The next one?
No, I would say, that's a hard one. Because I'm not as big of a history guy as you are.
Have I made you a history guy?
No, not really.
Not really? What are you talking about?
Not super interested.
Oh, what the hell, man?
I don't know.
Now people think I sound fat, and clearly I'm not as entertaining talking about history as I thought I was.
No, it's entertaining. It's just I haven't caught the bug.
Just going to drink myself under the table this weekend on that barge in Austin.
I'll say like 1890s Old West kind of.
Oh, okay. It's a little Red Dead Redemption time.
Yeah. Well, that Billy the Kid kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
He is Sean Mabeson for Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Last Chance to Dance up next. We do Garbage Time. I'm very curious, given the release of things involving the most infamous sports story of all time, what the old government wants us to look away from. To find out what I'm talking about next, stick around.
ESPN 97.5. We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Last Chance to Dance. Gallant and George with Sean Mapes sitting in the Joe George chair. So, I got a push notification on my phone today. And this happens whenever somebody passes away, Sean, but the FBI, if they're investigating anybody, once that person passes away, they will release all the documents that they have.
I didn't know they did that.
I didn't either.
That's very interesting.
Now, they redact some of the stuff that
obviously,
they have.
Yeah.
But I got a push notification from my ESPN app saying that O.J. Simpson, who passed away a couple of months ago, right? 2 months ago? I want to say it was April 11th?
Yeah, it was in April.
I got a push notification saying, hey, the FBI has released 465 pages of documents about O.J. Simpson. And I guess the most interesting thing was the investigation they did into a specific pair of shoe tracks that were found at the scene. These Italian shoes that I guess there were only two pairs of purchased that for the United States. Insane that you could track that in 1994.
That's nuts.
Really?
Well, I imagine it's just that they took a look at the track or, you know, the footprint mark. And I guess that I don't know how they work backwards, though, with these like apparently super rare shoes, or at least rare in America shoes.
A great question, especially considering how many questions have been asked about the handling of evidence in that case.
That too.
The real question I have, and I'm not about to take us down an O.J. Simpson rabbit hole. I will say I think he did it. I think there's a lot of evidence that screams he did it, and he was found guilty in a civil court, which only has to find a like more than likely, not a 99%.
51% as opposed to 100%.
Exactly. I think it's fair to assume he did it. I'm curious as to what the government wants us to look the other way from if all of a sudden they're just dropping this on a Friday. Maybe it's this actual investigation into OJ. Maybe it's into something else.
Yeah, because they do have to do it after he dies. And so, I mean, obviously, like you said, it's been a couple months. Yeah, because it happened on your birthday. Now I remember. It happened literally on your birthday.
It was perfect birthday content.
And I think it was also a Friday show. There is something where they had to release it at some point. But why today? I don't know. Was there an alien thing? Was there a...
No, I think they like to put the alien stuff out there, too.
Yeah, that's another distraction thing.
Maybe a presidential candidate did something. That's probably a fair assumption.
Did a bridge collapse somewhere?
did another derecho happen?
Yeah.
Like, center point energy screwing up?
Where are the hits that we're playing?
Exactly.
We're playing the hits.
I guess we'll find out at some point.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting to see that.
Oil spill.
Yeah, I know. God, that's probably it. Anyway, he's Sean. I'm Paul. Time for a little garbage time to wrap things up.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
In further proof that the internet ruins everything, a remote tribe in Brazil has become bitterly divided 9 months after gaining access to satellite internet via Starlink. The Marubo tribe, which lives in the Amazon rainforest, is now facing problems because of the internet, because many youngsters are hooked on social media and pornography. Guys, the internet ruins everything. I'm just saying. You know what's been great for me? Sean, I have not had Instagram or TikTok on my phone since April 30th, and I'm not kidding. It has been amazing. I have it on my computer, and I look at it on my computer, but it has been great. Twitter might be next.
Yeah, Twitter's just tough with the job. If it wasn't for the job, I think that should have been on the chopping block too. I will say, in defense of the Marubo tribe, it is tough going from no internet whatsoever to boom, here you go. By the way, kids, there's some websites that you don't want to go to. Actually, you really want to go to. In front of your parents, you don't want to go to. So I can understand. I can understand the, because we here in America were lucky enough to have it gradually introduced to
us.
Yes. As opposed to, boom, here's 2024 internet.
Hasn't this tribe heard of parental control?
No, they haven't. They have. Not on the internet, they haven't.
They're also concerned about their exposure to violent first-person shooter games. Oh, come on. You can't wow, deprive a child of Call of Duty or Halo.
Wow, they really are just playing. They're doing everything that we did just all at once.
Meanwhile, back in civilization, for the New York Post, it's the summer of the threesomes.
Oh.
Because of the movie, a sports one, starring Zendaya. It's a tennis movie. Challengers. There's a threesome in that movie. Two guys, one girl. And it's inspired thousands of social media memes and has even prompted one pundit to declare the upcoming season as summer of the threesome.
How do we track this? How do we tell if this is this just more integrated marketing for Challengers?
This is BS.
Do they have a DVD? Like, are they selling the DVD? And this is the little, like, hey, a viral story.
I think so. This is BS. There's zero chance, zero effing chance that this is actually happening. This is just people like that are claiming things because they saw a movie.
Yeah. No. This is very much wanting something to happen. Which, hey. All power to you, but yeah, I have my doubts. I have my doubts that this will actually be the summer of the threesome.
I gotta say, Tennessee, they have not been acting like they've been here before in the College Bowl series. So someone just caught a foul ball, and again, like celebrating like it's the greatest play they've ever made.
Aren't they down?
Dude,
I know they were down after the
every time
first
I'm looking up at this
inning.
Tennessee versus Evanston baseball match, I'm seeing Tennessee players celebrating like like the Miami Hurricanes of the late 80s and early 90s.
Mike Francesa is very mad.
He's
watching
about this.
Watching this game.
Act like you've been there before.
Yeah, it's 2-1 Tennessee, apparently.
Okay, well, at least they're winning.
It's 2-1 Evansville.
Oh,
2-1
Evansville. Jeez. Well, hey, Sean, it's been real.
It's been fun.
It's been fun. You have a good weekend.
You too.
I'll try to make it back from Austin. Thanks to Austin behind the glass. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are up next from Sam Houston Race Park. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.